I feel them nights, come for me more. By God's grace and God's mercy, he allowed me to make me. I could leave my wife on the side of the road and run here because I was running late. So y'all gave me a topic, and you gave me some groundwork to lay the grounds for the topic. My clean date is August 8th, 1988. I got clean at 18 years old. I really didn't know that I really just didn't know that I didn't know. And I really didn't know that I didn't know. But anytime anyone asks me a question, my answer is, I know. I didn't know I was going to embark on a journey that was so fabulous that my life would change so dramatically. I got clean. I just want to do 90 women in 90 days. I just want to knock off a few of their sponsors. See, I was a little 18-year-old who ran to the coffee pot 20 or 30 times. I stayed undiagnosed for a very long time. But I came here and a series of events started happening. It's hard to be in Narcotics Anonymous and the spirit not hit you. It's hard to be here, them talking about spiritual principles and none of them take. So I was here, man, and I thought I had all the answers. I was running around crazy. So I went to a meeting in Jamaica, Queens one day. And the six-step speaker didn't show up. And I had enough of you fine sharing addicts to mimic the best of you. I got up in front of the room and I shared. And y'all were like, thanks for sharing. But old man Smitty and old man Goat didn't see it that way. I was going to walk out all pumped up that I said something so deep. Smitty said, "What the fuck were you talking about?" And Goat just, y'all know how they are. They embodied a guy like me. Didn't spare my feelings. If you here on feeling time, keep coming. That too shall pass. I called my sponsor. I need to do some step work. I gotta. He said, "Meet me tomorrow." But you can stutter when you're stuck. And I started doing step work. And marvelous things happen on the road to recovery. You may gain principles far beyond your understanding till you meet the road where you have to understand why you have to apply them. In the meeting, and one of my guys, he bought a speaker, hour and a half meeting, the guy shared for an hour. Pull the guy aside like they did me. "Yo, man, your dude can't share for an hour. You got to work on this." That little dude spit in my face. He 4'2". I'm 5'11". You do the math. Walk out the meeting. He want to fight. There's no real fight like that left in me. See, I'm the guy who went to jail 5 times clean and never went to jail while selling or using drugs. See, I'm the guy at 12 was telling you to get at the end of the line, and at 16 I was at the end of the line. So something like that, and I want you to know, I had a hard time in my first few years here. I went to jail, and the guy who was my sponsor slept with the girl who was my girlfriend. Then there came the meet with matching sweatsuits on and stuff like that. And you guys talking, it's easy to talk. Principles before personality. When you know you can whip a nigga out. So I was stuck in a spiritual dilemma, heartbroken, clean. And you never had the heartbroken clean, keep coming. It's a state of desperation which will change your perspective on the rest of your life. groundwork where I can, as I started doing step work and I started developing that surrender means not having to fight no more. My fight was never with the outside. My fight was always with the inside. I learned the ability to have some hope, the hope shot that if it worked for you and it worked for you, it will work for me. I had to come to the faith point, the faith that's something that I can't see but's tangible, because things keep happening to me and I keep walking through them unsavored. I learned to apply the courage that's in the fourth step. The courage to talk about the little poor welfare kid with the Alexander sneakers, and I drew two lines on the side and wore them to school and it washed off and kids teased me. I learned the ability to talk about the guy who, when he was 5 and 6, watched his uncle molest his sister, who heard his sister scream for help and couldn't move because I was so afraid he would get me next. And you talk about principal ways. I come from a family where my mother told a lie, my father told a lie, they compliment on something they know was a lie. We ain't all way up there. My mother had 8 kids by my father. My father had a whole nother family of 7 more. And I'm the youngest boy. And I'm telling my mother, and she told me I'm a liar. You know what groundwork that states from a state of abandonment? So let's lie for the fun of it. So you talk about principles when my personality is being shaped by something that was deformed and something that executed the surgery of my spirit before I had a chance to even grow up. Before I had a chance to even go to school and be like, I disliked me. From an act that had nothing to do with me, but I couldn't save my sister. So I get here and you guys, you are the most fabulous family in the world. Took a long time to get to the fourth step and mend the fifth step, the trust of the broken relationships. The ones that you thought would never heal. You talk about practice and principles before personality. How about when you're walking here and you owe child support 50-something thousand and you owe IRS 50-something thousand? Today you don't owe them nothing, but you make it through. And the only reason you owe that because your personality showed up because you had no principles. Told me to come to family court. I said, okay. I had about 10, 20,000 worth of jewelry. I had a powder of sky blue suit, a powder sky blue hat, some powder sky blue gaiters, and my child support was $10 a week. I sat in front of her, and she said, we're going to base this on your potential to earn. I had no principles to stand on. I went by what I was taught in the street. Fake it till you make it. Act as if. And if it's not, pretend. And if not, dress like you successful. And plagiarize that while you're clean. And don't let them know you sweat. Never let them see you sweat. So I'm here and I'm sweating and you don't see me sweating. I'm sweating so much that clothes start changing. I'm doing more home clean than I did while using and selling drugs. So you asked me to apply the principles that I learned. So by the time I got to the willingness shots, what was I really willing to do to be clean? You can't sell drugs no more clean. So I'm in this posture. I love it, the posture of service. So I was clean about 6 years and things were going well. You know, the picket fence, the house, the cars, the jewelry, the clothes, the fashionable job. And I start running 102 fever and I'm self-diagnosing myself. You know, addicts, so we go buy some cough medicine, maybe, you know, the kind that you go to meet and you say, can I use this? They say, no, you can't use that. It's a lot deeper now, believe me when I tell you. So I'm running a fever, and by the second week of the fever, I'm leaving puddles in the bed. They have to change the spreads every couple of hours. So someone said, go to the hospital. Magic light, you know what I mean? Go to the hospital. You ain't got to use magic light. You know, go to the hospital. So I'm sitting on the gurney, and these two interns are trying to give a crackhead a spinal tap. Show me the needle when I'm afraid of needles. So this little lady come walking by, and my eyes are jaundiced. She looked me. She said, "Hey, some call me. How are you?" I ain't dumb. Some call me means that she's in recovery or know about recovery. So she said, gave me the spinal tap, that rushed me upstairs to the floor. They said, "Listen, we got some news for you. You might never walk again." And I didn't even take it heavy. Because in the back of my mind, that just sounded like something she said. I'm laying in this bed, and addicts are coming 3 and 4 at a time. Not the addicts I'm cool with. You know, the ones I slept with this girl, the one I punched in the throat, the one who I owe money to. Those people came to see a guy like me. 4 of my father sitting there, they're praying for me. They talking to my father more, they talking to me. Remember the nurse said, "Are you a rapper or something like that? Because they just won't stop coming seeing you." I was walking within the 30-day obstacle that they had set up, and they still can't fully understand how the power of God works. My spiritual experience, man, I want to tell you that I still fall short with principles for personalities. You know, my people are here. They'll tell you, maybe 2 months ago, I'm in a meeting, and I'm suffering. I'm suffering because I got fired from a job after being there several years. I got fired because the lady said that I was just too nice. I don't know about no you where you come. Where I come from, ain't no thing called you just too nice. You got. So as they terminated me, I was devastated. But God had a bigger plan. So I was, you know, got another job a couple of weeks later, making more money with more benefits, and God's plan was working out, and they fired her. So I called and said, "Is there anything that I can do for you?" That was nothing of me. It was Almighty God and His plan, His infinite plan on principles before personality, because I don't know if she knew how I felt when I went through the devastation of getting terminated from a job. I wanted to exercise the spiritual principle of kindness, loving, and a therapeutic value of one human being helping another. This supersedes what you're going to hear here this weekend. So somewhere in the 7 steps, humility is the ideal state. It's not how I share up here. What do I do when none of you are looking? Am I loving the unlovable? Am I helping those who really need help? Am I willing to dig in my pocket when those who need dug in the pocket for? What are you doing? It challenged my spirit. It challenged my spirit principles before a person. Now, why did they put the plus before the minus? Why did they put the stop before the go? Why is it? But it never minds that, because before you can gain the yes, you need to know the no. So I'm here, and the 8-step of forgiveness is there, and the list is long, and the list is valuable to a guy like me, a guy who's been hurt so much, a guy who was beating for, my mother used to beat me because I looked like my father. And then she has a stroke, middle of my 8-step. So I'm challenged to fight through how I feel, because how I feel ain't how I am. And I go see her, and she starts crying. So we had a family function, and part of my story is my mother had this big back TV in the living room, and it didn't work. And I had to cop that night. And I carried this big back TV down about 10 or 15 blocks to cop. I thought nobody seen this 98-pound boy carrying a 300-pound TV. So I'm clean now, and you know, I got help to look for, like most of us do. And I'm clean now, and she's in the hospital, and I go buy the TV set and set it up with surround sound, DVD player, the works. You know, go off and do my recovery thing, you know, call her, go to the hospital, visit her, she come home, see the TV, she don't say nothing, we at the family function. My brother said, "Mom, where you get this beautiful TV from?" She said, "I got that from the same crackhead who stole that mother out." So the spiritual aim and the capacity to grow up was intensified by the ability just to go through the principles and survive my emotions. As I got to the 9th step of reconciliation, putting back what I've taken away, some of it might take a lifetime. My sons are still guessing and wondering, and they never see me use. I was more crazy and clean than I was on drugs. So I'm sitting in jail on this bunk, and the woman that I was with and the guy, she, you know what, they came to visit me together, and they left me my NA text. I'm on the bunk with my NA text, and there you can't cry. You can't even pretend like you're going to cry. So these five, six guys came, and we huddled around my little bunk, and we start going over the basic text, and they start, the light bulb start clicking on them, and we sit in there, and I got a $20,000 hit on my head when I went to jail. This big dude, he said, "I got you." I said, "I hope he ain't got me the way I think you got me." But he protected me in a hostile situation. I now sponsor four guys doing life. No possibility of parole. Oh, they were only coming down to go to court. Do you know what it feels like to have freedom? Do you know what it feels like to wake up and have the ability to practice principle before personality, even if your personality shows up first? See, if there's no detection, there's no correction. We have to detect that we are broken before we can get healed. Instead of walking around here thinking you're healed and not thinking we know that you're broken. So I'm walking around here and I want to know that my perspective started changing. Things started happening. The wonders and the miracles of Narcotics Anonymous supersede whatever I ever imagined. I was a guy who was a dishwasher. Now I'm a director. God started superseding. I came in here illiterate. In the 80s, we had no fat book. We 5, 6, 7, 2, whatever he created, that guy created, we get together, we go over, created stuff. I remember writing some stuff together, giving it to one of my small C's. They corrected it and gave it back to me because my speller was off. Forced me to go back to school. Went back to regular high school. I went back to, they didn't even let me in GED program. They said, "You go, listen, we're going to put you in regular high school." I'm in here, I'm like 20-something. They calling me pops at 20-something. I'm like, holy, holy, holy. Something wrong here. But I'm getting tutored. Teachers like taking interest in me, and because it was my old teacher who see me high every day, and I'm going through the step work, and I'm doing my school work, and I got the kids at home, and I'm working, and I'm tired, and I made it through, and they said, "Can you give the ceremonial speech?" The guy who life was on personality now have to apply some principles in up 2 moments. Give the speech, mama start crying, oh, everybody there crying, I start crying in the middle of the speech. Get somewhere upstate and a guy raised his hand, I was sharing, he said, "I remember when you couldn't put 2 sentences together. Now I also sponsor my high school teacher." I'm talking about amazing life. When all the personality in me says, "Stick a gun in your mouth and tell you what I want and how I want it." When all my personality was to trick, deceive, rob you, or steal what God has gave you so I can feel better than you or belittle you so you wouldn't feel as conscious as I was. So I'm here and I'm in 11th step and with or without. So I'm clean and I'm riding this horse. Got everything. Got a dark chocolate Haagen-Dazs chip with a big old booty. Got a car. I got all the good stuff. Woke up one day and it was all gone. My job fired me. Child support went up to $480-something or $400-something a week. So they took the unemployment check. Welfare told me they couldn't give me no more because I was a welfare hooligan. $6,850 was my story. I don't know what you spiritual people. Girl left. Guy I live with said, you can't stay here no more. All in 3 weeks span. So you can talk a good 11th step when it comes time, but when God takes the presentation of life out of you and put a new life in you, the declaration that we seek from the first step to the 11th step will present a new opportunity to exercise some new spiritual principles. 12th step is why I'm here. Why I left my wife on the side of the road and ran here. She said, go, baby, go. Like Forrest, just go, just run. She know this ain't about, we know this ain't about me. I got not, look, there could have been thousands of addicts they asked for this opportunity. They chose a guy like me and took a spiritual risk. Based on my condition, I can share off the crazy chart. But I know if there's no enemy on the inside, the enemy on the outside can do me no harm. Do you know who your true enemy is? What power, what God can do is show you who your enemy is and allow you to work with him despite the evidence of him beating on you in places you never thought you were beaten before. In the 12th step, flying through the tradition, you get to the 12th one and they want to play with it like it's Chinese checkers. Come into business with me like you know everything and you don't know nothing. You can't even spell the words you're trying to pronounce. You come and change the whole meeting up and then leave. You in danger. I'm telling you, over the 27 years, I watched the danger take emphatic effect on addicts, and I watched addicts when multiple years go out. Lack the ability to stand up for themselves inside of principles. When they tell me that the first tradition is about unity and unity is a must, I watch the separation happen right in front of my eyes. The white meat and the black meat and the good speaker, the bad speaker. So by the time you get to 12, it's a setup. You learn the second tradition is the common good for my integrity. What's good for the group is generally what's good for me. And by the time you ask me to serve in a leadership capacity, let my integrity speak for itself. Not my car, not my girl, not my jewelry, not who I know, not my sponsorship family. Let me wind down. So I'm on my way to a convention, and I'm a guy who, what happened was, gold became my addiction at one point. You know the guy that talked about the Mr. T starter kit, that he was talking about me. A lot of jewelry, because, you know, I switched seats on the Titanic. But I was still indulging in lustful fantasies, and I wanted to run around New York like I was crazy, and I had all this jewelry on, and I went somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be. The girl I was going to see, her son, had me robbed, and it was devastating. When you ain't never been robbed and get robbed, it ain't as good as you think it is. I still got 8 brothers. It ain't good. So I became, I couldn't stay in small spaces. I couldn't stand around a lot of people, and I was afraid of trains and buses. So I'm on the train. I get off the train, and I'm hot, and I'm sweating. And I get off the train, and I take a cab. They say $46. I go, well, that ain't going to work for a guy like me. But you can gain some different aspects of things as you stay clean. So I had the ability to buy several cars, so I bought a couple of cars. That I got, just in case one breaks down, I got to have a backup. And most of y'all know the Hoopy is the best car to drive when you're going anywhere. Because it'll break down, take the place off, and just keep on going. So me and a couple of my friends are going to the Jersey convention, you know, and one of my friends to do the workshop, and the car broke down, and we all got out and looked at the car like looking at the car going to fix a doggone car. So this guy in his big truck come running up behind us. I had all my NA bumper stickers on the back of the car. And he guys, what's up? I said, the car broke down. He said, I got a friend with a shop. I said, all right. So he called the guy. The guy was there in minutes, man. We laughing and we joking with this guy. I don't know the guy from a can of paint. Guy hooked the car up. He said, where you going? I said, we're going over to the convention. He said, take us to the convention. He said, oh, I'll hang out with you guys for a little while. We hung out. We laughed. We joked. We ate. He said, with the car ready, I call you and I bring you back to the shop. Car was ready. So guy in the car, I said, can we hear the last speaker? I said, yeah, no problem. Heard the last speaker, jumped in his truck, went back over to the shop. So we at the shop, he drops us off at the door, we walk in, he drives off. Get into the, you know, going, hey, what's up? What's wrong with the car? How much I owe you? He said, you don't owe me nothing. The guy in the truck already paid for your car. I'm a crackhead. Personality said, must have been nothing wrong with the damn car. He said, yeah, you blew a timing bell. That bill was big. We driving home. All of us praising how great God is. God is so good. Yeah, you would have been walking home that night too, right? I'm in one of those far Middle East states, and back then they sponsors and sponsees come up to introduce them, and they introduce this guy, and this guy walked up to the podium, and he said, I'd like to thank that damn crackhead, some call me mom. Him and his raggedy ass car broke down on the Jersey Turnpike, and I was going to cop, and I used my copping money to fix his car. So you want to tell me the principles who supersede personality? Helping others, the highest inspiration of the human heart. Who has you helped lately? What price will you pay to stay here? Do you really have true principles that will supersede your personality in opportune times? How about the guy who rapes his sister, sits in the meeting? How do you feel then, spiritual Mark? How about the guy who was with your first wife with the matching sweatsuits 2 weeks ago? You go sit and share at a rehab, and he's sitting in the front row, telling you, thank you for sharing. I remember you when I got here. In my mind, I was like, I remember you too. I remember you too. But the power of God don't let you hold on to that stuff too long. My greatest hurts is my greatest anthems. What is major is what God can do, can supersede how I feel, how I feel in fact, how the facts of my feelings can be substantial by why I am, where I am, because I am. So if nobody told you that they love you this time of the day, Mark loves you because Mark needs you. Most of my people know I drive like Mr. Magoo. I'll be all up in your sidewalk, down the chair. I'm one of those guys. And I get lost in my own neighborhood. I be called, listen, honey, how I get home? How I get home? How I get home? What I need, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, is without parallel. Despite what we think about you, we don't like you because you with them. We don't respect him because he was with her. Does it make a difference when you're dying in the seat of desperation? See, disease don't take imbalance. What it does is it takes what you're afraid of and will use it as a guiding force to see if you're over where you're at. And if you don't get the first life lesson, it comes back around again. You don't get the second, it comes back around again. I was in love with emotionally unavailable women. So if it didn't work out, I have somebody to blame. Some identification in the room, I see. So if nobody told you they love you, Mark love you because Mark needs you. My time is up, and whenever my time is up, God knows this is the truth. If anyone next to you is hurting, hug them anyway. Despite how you feel, if anybody next to you is in need, love them back to where God needs them to be. We don't always know where we need to be, but God will put where we need to be from where we come from. When we come from, we'll show the guidelines of where we got to go, and where we got to go has nothing to do about why we're here. I am not here by any power of my own. This was preceded before I was even born. God had already predestined what I was going to do, so I'm just here to do the course. Run the race. And if I fail, blame my sponsor. And if I pass, blame him also. But most of all, blame Almighty God. Thanks for letting me share.